Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 10th of January, recording somewhat later than usual. Apologies for that. At 10:22 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here. Things pretty steady in here today. A few eyebrow-raising items. The S&P broke upwards from a very small range on top of the two big upward days that it had at the beginning of the year. And as a consequence of that, the S&P is challenging its 2012 highs. Now, Vietnam has also been up for six consecutive weeks, albeit from a very low level, within a broad range since 2009. And Japan is testing its recent high after a slightly bigger pullback. And the yen has actually resumed its decline, also after a slightly bigger bounce. Now, China export and credit data is indicating improving economic growth, and the Shanghai index remains very steady. In Japan, which I just mentioned a moment ago, demand for zinc reached a six-year high. That raised a few eyebrows. Indicating that a weaker yen is supporting the economy. And crude oil's been edging higher really since mid-December, but it's still within its overall broad sideways trading range. Now, precious and industrial metals were firmer, with the exception of nickel, which had a small decline. But the bigger gains were in the precious metals. And this is interesting, because palladium is back at above 702. So that's come up quite sharply in the last 3 days. And that's at the higher side of its broad 4 or 5 year range. It's been the firmest in recent months by quite a margin. Silver, which has been one of the laggards, but it had a good day in here today, and up nearly 67 cents, takes it up to $30.91. And palladium, which has also been strong in the last few days, is now above 1634. It was up over $34 in here today. Gold up $19, $19 to $20. It's currently at 1674, nearly 1675. Okay. Well, what do we make of all this? Well, first, I didn't mention bond markets. Bond markets are easier in here today, and I noticed that Bunds had a downward dynamic today. But the bond markets, as you know, they were hit hard in December and at the beginning of this year, and then they picked up just a little bit over the last few days, but it was a little more than a dead cat bounce, and some selling pressure coming in here again today. Okay, so what do we conclude from all this? Well, the first factor I would mention is improving confidence, and that's hardly surprising because the European stock market has really been one of the steadiest overall for several months, albeit again from a very, very low base. But what a difference that makes in the minds of global investors when you go from All that talk of the breakup of the euro, which we never agreed with, and now the stock market has had such a good performance. So sure, Europe's got loads of problems, not least where's the growth going to come from? Mario Draghi says that we may see the growth start to resume later on this year. And of course, performances vary considerably within the European region. Germany hasn't done all that badly, but the southern European countries, Ireland, they've been the ones that have suffered the most. But their stock markets have seen a good recovery, albeit from very, very low levels. Now, China, which a lot of people were saying in the last couple of years was going to see a hard landing. Well, that certainly doesn't appear to be the case, and the stock market has broken its downward trend, albeit within a broad trading range, broken up from the lower side of that range. And we've seen improving economic data on China, as I mentioned a little bit earlier. Japan, since Shinzo Abe came on the scene, has once again has improved considerably. That was another big concern in recent years. So, where's the crisis? Well, I think that the U.S. is not exactly in crisis, but I don't think it's getting particularly good economic governance, and we're going to have plenty more bickering here between the Republicans and the Democrats, with the Democrats, of course, holding the upper hand following President Obama's re-election victory. But the Republicans do still control the Senate. Now, a strong performance in January, and we're only a third of the way through the month, but the evidence is encouraging here so far, and what we certainly have not seen are the sort of downward dynamics that would indicate that Wall Street, up near the higher side of its 12-year range, it's not encountering, at least not yet, any heavy selling pressure. Now we've got QE, loads of QE, and that's a powerful tailwind still. But again, what can I say? These markets are performing well. My own bias right now is to, I think it might not be a bad idea to edge away from the US. One doesn't need to do that immediately. But, and the US, again, has a lot of advantages. First, they have the most autonomies. And those companies, of course, are benefiting from their markets all over the world, not least in Asia. And that should help their performances overall. The US has the energy advantage among major powers, and that's a very positive factor, particularly for some of the heavier industries within the United States. It's also good for drivers. So that's all favorable. I do worry about what happens at the end of QE, and I think that it will almost certainly be the Fed that moves away from the quantitative easing first. And that's going to be a major stumbling block, I think, for the US market. But we don't know when that will happen. I would be pretty sure that it, I don't, because I don't think the Fed knows when that's going to happen yet. I would be pretty sure that it will not be happening in the first half of the year. But my point that I was making is that over the next few months, if anyone's worried about the United States or what happens, particularly regarding what happens after QE, that it might not be a bad idea to be edging into the Asian region generally. And China would be my first choice there, and Japan is my second choice there. The smaller ASEAN markets have done splendidly well. I mean, we could add Vietnam as a recovery candidate, but that's much more speculative. But the ASEAN markets have done so well that I don't think they can match what Japan and China are likely to achieve in 2013 on a percentage basis. And what else to mention here? The bond markets. This has been the safe haven for a huge amount of capital, and it has not performed, really. These markets have not performed since June. Now, they haven't given up a huge amount of ground. They've given up very little in terms of the gains that they've seen over many years. But the fact that confidence is improving generally is not an additional reason to add to one's position in those long-dated government instruments, in any long-dated government instruments where there's been a great deal of QE evident. And some of that money, I think, that's drifting out is flowing into stock markets around the world. As for precious metals, we're still very much in those overall trading ranges. I think a contrarian would say that he's far happier to see some people coming out and giving press comments and writing reports that the gold bull market is over, which is, of course, quite the opposite of what we actually heard at the top back in to date, back in 2011, after gold had been accelerating upwards following an advance of several years, and people were coming up with five, six-figure price tags in terms of their expectations for gold. It was certainly a big warning signal accompanying the acceleration that we were seeing on the charts at the time. And we don't hear much about that anymore. We don't even hear forecasts of gold moving above $2,000 very often. I still think that will happen within this bull market cycle. But we are still very much in this range. But again, a contrarian will derive some comfort here from the bearish sentiment that we see towards precious metals, which are right now steadying in their ranges. And I think that's pretty much it on this Thursday. So all the best to all of you.